Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Katamita. I'm Yusuf.
And I'm Zuby.
And we just kind of wanted to switch up our format a little bit and just have some casual conversation about some interesting experiences we've been having over the past couple weeks or since the last time that you might have heard from us here on the Katamita podcast. And just share our perspectives chat. On it. Yeah, just chat. Just have some Katamita chit-chat.
Exactly. So this week has been crazy. I think also, like, it's been wintertime, and a lot of people that have kids out there have also been feeling all of the respiratory illnesses. I feel like we were sick for about a month straight with some version or conglomeration of, like, flu and COVID and RSV and all the things. And so I know we're not the only ones that have been dealing with that.
Definitely. I can say, as someone working at a daycare, you are definitely not the only ones dealing with that. We've had 6 students. Actually, I think that's going to come up later when we talk about my story. But 6 students, absent students. And, you know, it always just takes one person in the house or the classroom to be carrying it and to keep spreading it.
Yeah. So that's just been, you know, add stress to the basic stress of everyday life. And then we've had some friends going through emergencies and losses, and that has been really hard just because that can be really hard. And going through this to help support, you know, my friend in any way that is actually helpful, I didn't realize why it was as hard as it was for me. I think, and Yusuf, actually, you caught it. Like, you sort of realized that you called me the other day.
I did. I just called you and just said, hey, I know you're dealing with a lot right now, trying to be there for your friend. But I just want to make sure you're holding space for yourself, too, because you might not realize how triggering all of this is for you.
Yeah, and I didn't. I didn't realize it. And so, again, this is not about, like, me or my grief necessarily at all. It's just that I wanted to bring up that when you have grief and then you see somebody else having grief, sometimes it can almost open it back up for you.
Definitely.
And I just didn't really think about that. And then I thought about who else this might be opening it up for. You know, this might be opening it for you. This might be opening it up for somebody else. And just that, gosh, what a, you know, what grief is, in that, like, you just, when you think you might be having a good day.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there is something to be said about how, you know, it's not taking their grief and making it your grief. It's not minimizing their grief. It's just realizing how, you know, like, even just language can really take you there. I know when I was reading some of the updates, just some of the words, you know, about stuff that happens in the hospital and procedures and stuff, it was hard to read because it was like being
a trigger word.
Exactly. It was words that I, in the hospital, said, I never want to hear this word again. You know, intubated, extubated, whatever, you know. And, like, those are just such triggering visual memories as well, that it can be hard to, while you
disassociate.
Might think that we can compartmentalize it while we're helping out a friend, and then we don't realize how much it's hitting us and why we're crying alone at night.
Yeah.
After, you know, just trying to be helpful.
Yeah, because in the moment, you just do what we all sort of do, which is focus in, zone in, and get what needs to get done.
Right.
And then it's interesting how our body sort of will deal with that a little differently than our mind deals with it. And then at some point, you can really only push it away for so long before it will hit you. Whether you choose to or not, I feel like you can never really fully protect yourself from when it wants to rear its ugly head again.
For sure. I mean, that's one of the reasons I, you know, after calling you, I called our brother, you know, and not for any particular reason, just to say hi. I miss you. I want to hear your voice. I want you to hear my voice.
Yeah.
And I want you to know, like, you're loved. And because our brother is not someone who processes his emotions.
He's very private. He's just a very private person.
Mm-hmm. And he throws himself into his work.
Yeah.
And is really able to kind of compartmentalize in ways that I know I can't.
Yeah, sometimes. I struggle with it too, for sure. And we're, you know, as you all know, big mouths and talk mm-hmm. a lot.
Definitely. So I just gave him a call to say, you know, I'm never going to pressure you to unzip and become vulnerable because I know how anxious that can make somebody. You know how anxious I got about that when I even just was thinking about going on a trip with friends. You know, it can be hard to open up and know whether you have the capacity to zip yourself back up.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to let him know, you know, I love you and I'm thinking about you. We talk about you often.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever you need to call or whenever you do decide to take a break and sit in your grief, like, it doesn't have to be alone. It can be alone. It doesn't have to be. We're here for you.
Yeah.
And
all of this is, again, just a reminder, because as I was going through this, I was texting you guys and just saying, I love you, you know, because I think all of this is a reminder time and time again, whether you're going through it or when you're going to be going through it, because unfortunately we do all die, that to let people know what you want to share with them and how much you love them and how much sometimes we don't say things to each other until
We all assume tomorrow's promised, you know, and we all think we can say what we want to say or need to say or mend broken bridges or whatever at a later time. And, you know, life is short.
Repair those relationships now, you know, if you can. Repair them, say what you want to say so that you can have a healthy relationship with the people that are around you and you don't have to have any regrets.
Definitely. And one thing you had mentioned to me that I so deeply respect you for is you were talking about how our dad passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mommy didn't have all this figured out. You know, she had to figure it out with us. And she couldn't have done that without a village. You know, all the women that stepped up in our life, all our neighbors that took me in and took care of me and, you know, made sure my mom was straight. Like, that's what you're doing for your friend. And
well, I hope that I can do that for my friend. I'm definitely don't want to, you know, say like I'm saying doing anything. But I do remember my mom, you know, our mom saying that. I remember her saying a couple of times that, you know, these two women from our mosque came. She's like, they came over with boxes and they just helped me. They just helped me clean and organize and with daddy's things. And she said it to me many times. She was like, it was our neighbors, you know, it was a couple of women she named, you know, that like they came in, they stepped up, they just, she just said that this is how I survived was these people who came in and just stepped in and helped out. And certainly I can't say, you know, necessarily for myself, but we have a neighbor that is exactly that. She just, I know that if I need anything, I can, gosh, when I had just had Zach, I got food poisoning or GI bug or something. I don't even know what it was. And I remember asking her, I was like, I need help. And she just came and she took Zach.
Yep.
She's an experienced mother and I could just be sick. And those kinds of people are, that's how we survive.
Definitely. I mean, we live in such a individualized place. You know, the Western world is so all about me, me, me. Yeah.
But what it wasn't meant to be like that. We were meant.
Exactly.
We were meant to be able to help each other out. We weren't meant to do it alone.
Yeah.
And I hope that I hope that I can be helpful because my intention is that. I don't know if I really will be, but I know that I really want to be, and I want to be able to step up and do that because I know that that's what helped my mother and that that's what I have received. And I just hope that I can be that kind of a person too, that I could be able to support somebody and get them through, not for any reward or anything like that. Just to say, I have peace of mind that I've been able to help somebody just make it through and get through.
Definitely. And I think it doesn't need to be this huge thing. You know, it doesn't need to be all or nothing. It can be going to your neighbor's house and offering them to take their kids for a few minutes, or you know, offer dinner one night, you know, or something like that. Like, it doesn't have to be this huge, huge show-offy thing, you know. For it sure, can just yeah. be person-to-person connection in your neighborhood, you know, and that's the community that helps people thrive.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting how sometimes you'll have this, you know, flock of support right after something happens.
Yeah.
And then it dissipates.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I really want to be mindful of is that people may need support longer than mm-hmm. what you think they need. We might be like, oh, 3 months, 6 months, whatever. Well, what if it's 2 years? Mm. That's okay. You know, that who are we to judge when anybody could stop, you know, being held up and supported. I just think, again, and it's not just about like when somebody dies or when somebody is sick or anything like that. I just think, I bet maybe this is how things were anyways back in the day.
Yeah.
Or when we were closer knit communities, and somehow that has changed. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if that correlates with the increased stress nowadays, just because I really don't think we were meant to do it all the way that we're doing it right now.
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's the higher stress. I think that can lead to a lack of empathy because we're all so focused on making our own ends meet that we don't really hold space for other people. And I think one thing that might be related to that is that a lot of people just want to problem solve, which is great, because problem solving is important, but they do it with a lack of empathy. And so that, I think, is a good way to kind of switch over to something that happened to me this week, which is what I was working. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of our kids are sick too, you know, mm-hmm. tummy bugs and all that stuff. And so there was one day we were just playing in a smaller room, like a sensory room. And one of my kids was kind of standing off to the corner, a little off to himself. And I was like, hey, babe, like, what's wrong? You know, are you okay? And he was like, oh. And I was like, oh, like, are you okay? What's up? And then he just started vomiting. Like, vomiting all over. Like, and it was out of nowhere. Like, when I tell you, this kid had been fine all day.
It's like a poltergeist.
Yeah, no. Well, thank God it wasn't like projectile, but it was like just coming out.
I'm sorry, that's so poor baby.
I know. And so obviously, like, my first instinct was just to jump back and be like, you know, like, okay, don't get me, you know. And then I really had to turn on another part of my brain that was like, oh, you can't just step away and like let this kid vomit. Like, this is a baby, you know. He's probably so uncomfortable right now and scared. Confused and scared. Exactly. Like, he's gonna start crying, of course. Like, this is an uncomfortable, I at almost 28 years old still hate the sensation of throwing up, you know. Like, it makes me cry every time I throw up. I cry. And so
It's the lack of control.
Yeah, and the vulnerability and absolutely. The fear. You don't know, like, when it's happening, you're like, oh my God, is this done? Is it going to happen again? And can I clean up? Is it, you know?
The anxiety. I know my son gets really anxious when he gets nauseous.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that I ever saw him, like, super anxious was when he was nauseous. It's a whole thing.
It is. And so I had to really switch hats really quick and, like, go in the danger zone. And, you know, I used his, like, zone. Yeah, I basically, like, used his little shirt to try to catch some of it. And then, you know, I called for support right away, evacuated all the other kids, you know, and then really spent the time just comforting the one that threw up. And, you know, of course, clean him up, put him in some new clothes, all that. But it just really made me think, because I was talking to my therapist about it, actually, about the situation. And she said, you know, not a lot of people are just going to switch right away from like, oh, that's gross, like let me let him finish throwing up, to like, no, let me get in there and help this kid, because I know that he's probably scared and freaking out and confused and you know, uncomfortable. And that lends itself kind of what we were saying earlier, is a lot of people like to problem solve, but they don't think about the person underneath or the people affected underneath, and how long they need to be involved, the different types of care they can provide, different ways of showing you care, and all that.
And that's what I've been trying to be careful about. And I'm maybe I'm just not doing this the right way at all either, but I know everybody's like, oh, I want to jump in and help, which is amazing. But I just know how inundated I was when the whole situation was happening with text messages. Like, I wasn't even home, you know? So it's like, I get that everybody wants to outpour their love and support, and that's beautiful and wonderful, but it can also be really overwhelming for the person. And I know I was really overwhelmed because, and then it's like one more thing to be like, oh gosh, I have all these people I need to call back and respond to and this and that. And it's just the last thing you need is to have something else on your to-do list.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. Like, I know for a fact I have tons of messages from when our mom was in the hospital and even after with the passing that I just, I couldn't open at the time. Like, I just couldn't, you know, because it made it too real and too crazy. And now it's like, okay, I do want to really find a place or a time where I can go back through those messages and really process it all. But then it's like the guilt of, oh, I didn't respond, or or even just like the fear of it all coming back, you know, all the triggering.
Oh, yeah. That'll happen. It will. Because I think I did that with something. I can't even remember what it was. And I was like, oh, God.
You know? Well, I remember
it's
when...
It's really hard because you get, like, transported back to that time and place and all of it.
Yeah. And even stuff from before then. Like, I know you were sending, like, some of Mommy's messages and, you know, voicemails or voice notes and stuff. Someone was sending recordings of her voice. I'm like, it was too fresh, you know? Yeah. Like, even now, I still really struggle to watch or listen to media. You know, with her voice in it and stuff, because it just reminds you, you know, it just reminds you it's all real.
And everybody has a different tolerance for that. For, you know, sure. I know that's been one of the interesting things, is that, and I learned this even with when Daddy died, was that everybody handles things differently.
Definitely.
And then that is definitely still held true with this, that the way I grieve and what is going to be helpful for me and what I can tolerate is going to be very different than for you and for Carl and for Asif and for my aunts. You know, it's all very individual. And some of that is that the relationship was different for each person. And some of that is that we are all just different people. So we're all going to have different things. I know sometimes for me, what is helpful is to go and I spent one weekend, I think it was her birthday weekend, going through all 16,000 of my email addresses and finding all of her emails and like putting them in folders and like reading them and reading her book that she had started writing. And for a long time, you know, I couldn't do that. Yeah. But for some reason, I felt like that was going to be therapeutic for me. So I went in and I went in deep.
Yeah.
And it was good for me.
Yeah.
But I know that for somebody else, that would not be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, this is just, we can speak in general terms too, that for some people, journaling, for most people, journaling can actually be pretty helpful. For some people, it's just still too much for them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, I am definitely someone who needs to like fully, like who is still processing and is still having trouble. Like I do have plans in May to go down to Florida and like just trying to figure out how I'm going to visit the graves and like if like even a year after I'm ready for that, you know, which I think I will be. And I think it is going to be a really healthy thing for me, but that doesn't mean I'm not dreading it. And it doesn't mean I'm not anxious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just talking to some people about, you know, where leaving winter time, which means we're going into spring. And what does spring bring with it? Well, it can bring a lot of things, but unfortunately now it's also going to be tied to a couple of other things. So when our mom passed, it was the day after Eid. Mm. Or no, I'm sorry, her accident happened the day after Eid.
Right.
And so sometimes these things are tied to other things that will forever be changed. So when it's near other special occasions.
Right. Like right before our brother's birthday, you know.
Yeah, or like, exactly, birthdays, holidays, etc. All of that is changed, and mm-hmm. then the context of that changes. And then that can be very heavy for people, that spring is not just spring. March is not just March anymore.
Definitely.
Etc. So everybody handles that differently. I know for me, I was just starting to think about, you know, Ramzan's going to come up, Eid's going to come up, what's after that, and then April's going to come, and gosh, I'm kind of like dreading it a little bit, how what's going to happen. And so I texted my brothers and I was like, what do you think about being here so we can at least be together and be yeah. miserable or something?
No,
so.
Definitely. I mean, I even said that to Asif earlier. I said, you know, like, misery loves company, and like, if you just want to call and be silent on the phone with me, yeah. you can do that, you know. And I relate a lot to what you're saying. I mean, you know, my birthday is coming up in a couple days and I'm dreading it. Like, I'm dreading not seeing that text message in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
And so it's like, it's interesting because in a way I do feel purpose. Like, I feel like we really are too well equipped to like be in our friends' lives for this reason, or not just our friends' lives, in other people's lives, because we do bring a level of empathy catered to people individually and not just like the situation. You know, we are very intentional on how we reach out to people and try to help them. And it's because we've been through this, you know, as many times as we can be for our parents. And of course it's not the same, you know, everybody has different relationships with their loved ones. But like, for example, you know, I have two students who have a parent that have passed, and like,
yeah,
it's weird that I feel like I'm meant to be in this classroom because very few people are equipped to handle that specific trauma the way I can, you mm-hmm. know, for these kids. And so,
and that just happened to be, it's not like yeah. it was intentionally placed. So
of course,
it's interesting yeah. how, not that there's ever silver linings to anything or that things happen for a reason. I mean, obviously some people will say that, but it is interesting how things play out
for
sometimes.
Sure.
For I will sure. never tell somebody this happened for a reason, because nobody wants to hear that.
Please. Yeah.
But it is interesting how things play out. Like,
definitely.
I was telling Yusuf a little while ago, I think last weekend, that mommy used to tell me all the time about how God put you in her life, how God divinely wanted you in our lives, because he must have known, you know, that daddy was gonna go early.
Yeah.
She said that so many times to me, that, you know, you were placed here with a very clear purpose, or just
yeah.
very much meant to be.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, I don't wonder. I feel as though she was onto something, and like, maybe I am. Like, maybe that's my purpose on this earth, is like to be that buffer for a lot of people, you know, to help them understand grief in a way that I don't fully understand it, but maybe not to understand it, just to help them get through it, you know. Although that sounds very like self-important and high and mighty, and like, you know, it's not, I'm certainly not a grief counselor or anything like that, but
I think also when you're going through a hard time and you are depressed, you have to find and look for very hard why you're here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a coping mechanism that we are doing right now.
Yeah.
You know, that there is some self-serving almost in serving somebody else, is because you want to have a purpose. Why was I left here?
Yeah.
Why do other people have to leave, and why am I left here? So I'm like, I'm here. I'm stuck here. So what am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
And so I think, at least in my opinion, I think I do look for purposes somewhere where, like, okay, fine, I'm here. Then, like, how can I be a little bit helpful? Maybe?
For sure. And I don't know, we were talking about something interesting the other day, is that, and you just mentioned, you know, there's no silver lining,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that doesn't mean that this or these circumstances don't invite change and evolution and growth. And I know I personally have grown more than I ever thought I could in these past few months, just mentally and emotionally, which is unexpected, you know? Like, I mean, not unexpected, because I think a lot of people do grow from these experiences.
Post-traumatic growth, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think I wasn't expecting...
You weren't expecting it,
the
though.
Level of growth in the ways I have grown, in the way that I'm really able to hold grace for myself and space for myself and grapple with the different parts of self that are always fighting for control of the driver's seat. And of course, I'm not perfect. I mean, I am crazy and, like, definitely sometimes might want to channel my energy in inappropriate ways, but I really, really, like, you know, today I really wanted to call and cuss someone out, but it's like,
we had that conversation about that.
Yeah, but stay tuned or ask us for the tea if you want to know, but you know, like, I really had to think about the last intense conflict I was in post-grief and think about how, yes, there is the part of me that's so willing to get gritty and nasty, but it's not worth it. And, like, it's...
And your sister talked you down.
Of course. And not just you. Like, I genuinely...
Yeah, you did only figure it out on your own.
Only didn't call...
Because of mommy.
Because of my mom. You know, like, yeah. I felt her hand on my shoulder saying, like, just let it go. You know, like... And so, there is growth to be had in such difficult circumstances. And the best way to grow is together and in a village and with people around you that are, you know, aren't just here for a season. You know, they're here because they care about you and love you and are going to support you in the same way you're doing for your friend, which I so deeply respect. And,
I don't feel like I'd have done anything, but I do think...
I'm sure she feels like you're doing plenty.
I just want... I think the most important thing that I hope that I can impart, just because, again, having been through it, is to let her know that she's not by herself. She's not going to have to do this alone. Because grief can be really lonely.
Definitely.
And that, again, like you told Asif, that if you want to just call at 2 in the morning just to be silent or cry or bawl or whatever... Like, when I tell people I'm there for that, I mean it. Mm-hmm. I'm there for that. Because sometimes that's what you need.
Yeah.
So, and it can be, it's going to be at 3 in the morning and it's going to be at 4 in the morning.
Right. I mean, one part of my moving up here closer to you and my stepdad and all that is that I really wanted to be intentional in being there, you know, and actually putting my money where my mouth is. Like, I know there's definitely times you ask me to babysit and I'm like, I just got off of work with a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
you know, and then I have to check myself and remember, like, this is why you moved up here. Like, those boys are your life. Your sister is you. Your sister and your brother are basically all you have left now, you know, like, do it. You know, be there for those boys, you know, like, babysit. It's not gonna kill you. You'll be a little exhausted, and that's why you moved up here. And so it is putting your money where your mouth is. You know, that night you had texted me and said, you know, I let my friend know they can call you if they you know, have a question about whether to, you know, take someone to the hospital, whatever. And I stayed up, you know, like, and it's like, not trying to pat myself on the back, but, like, I understand that, like, these are the circumstances, you know, when we were in the hospital for a week straight, who knows who we had to call at what time to get whatever figured out. Right. You know, it's the people that picked up and were there for us that got us through it.
And I was just thinking the other day, because, you know, we have the most profound thoughts usually in the shower. I don't know if you do, but
hashtag just shower thoughts.
Just because it's like, you know, you're alone with yourself and your thoughts. And right. So I was thinking, family is what you make also. So mm-hmm. yes, we have, you know, our blood relatives and family that we love and hold dear, but also ultimately the family is the little family that you make for yourself and the little village that you make for yourself wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people are there just for like a small season of your life, but either yeah. way, it's interesting how when these things happen, who comes up and who doesn't, and mm-hmm. it might not be what you think, and not to say that's good or bad or any of that, but right. it's just interesting and mindful, and that maybe those people are just put there for a little time to help you with that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
definitely,
I don't know, I know it's like big picture profound stuff maybe, but
well,
it's just interesting, you know, how it's just life, you know? It's yeah. so interesting how these people can come in and out of your life and how you're like, wow.
And that seems like a good note to end on. So if you're looking for purpose and you have...
Good luck.
Or if you have the means, find a good charity to donate to. We've both recently made donations in our parents' names. Because yeah. it just, it's a small way, you know, if you can, you know, give back and find your purpose and yeah. go check on your neighbors, go check on your friends.
Tell everybody that you love them if you mean it.
Yeah, tell everybody you love that you love them. And try not to cuss anybody out today.
Bye.
Bye. See you on our next episode. Bye-bye.